Greet you all in Jesus' name and say good morning to you. I appreciated the service thus far and the singing. The children's lesson, very good. Just a week ago Thursday, I had a fellow there fixing my grandfather clock, and it took him quite a while. And what he was doing, he had some electronic thing hooked up to the pendulum to make sure it was swinging the right speed so it keeps the right time. That was very interesting to listen to Jim talk about that this morning. Also, I appreciate Brother Stewart calling attention to the Ascension Day. Very important and foundational to our faith, and very important to our salvation. Very important as we think of our Christian lives. One of the things that a preacher becomes painfully aware of is the fact that he needs to preach on subjects that he is in need of himself. Subjects that stomp on your toes. And this is one of them this morning I'm going to preach on. If you were promised one thing that will make your life more satisfying, give you more confidence for the future, and make your relationships better, would you do it? I am going to preach about that one thing this morning. It's one thing of many, but it is one thing that is very important. As you might remember, I am preaching through the fruits of the Spirit. And we come this morning to the fruit of long suffering in Galatians 5. Let's go to Galatians 5. And I would like to read verse 22 through 26 again. In Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it is joy, it is peace, long-suffering, our subject for this morning, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Long suffering. It is exactly what it means. Just what it says. To suffer for a long time. The very fact of suffering is foreign to our thought process. Suffering and pain are something we avoid at all costs. The science of stopping pain is a whole field in the medical world. But we need to understand suffering, long suffering, in the world in which we live, and in as a fruit of the Spirit, as part of the being regenerated and partakers of God's holiness and God's life Himself, that we understand this long-suffering as being a fruit of the Spirit. I've entitled the message this morning, Long-Suffering, the Forgotten Fruit of the Spirit. We forget long-suffering so much in our lives. I need to confess that myself. We take sedatives to stop suffering. Mentally, emotional suffering, we just can't put up with. We need long suffering in our relationships with others. Matthew 18 talks about having patience. Patience is a very similar meaning to long suffering. But you know, in Matthew 18, where the man had a huge debt. I suppose you remember that story. The man had a huge debt. And Peter asked Jesus, "How many times shall I forgive?" And, you know, till seven times? And Jesus told him, no, till 70 times seven. That's long suffering. That's what long suffering is to forgive someone out into infinity, 70 times 7. Not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. That is what called long-suffering. Well, the man that had this great debt, he said, "Yeah, you just give me some time. Give me some time, and I'll pay thee back. I'll give you money. I'll pay you all. You must have patience or long-suffering with me." So we all desire long-suffering. And so it is true that we all need patience. Long-suffering, according to my understanding of Galatians 5, will not happen without a conscious effort to have this actual fruit of the Spirit, have it be part of my life. But I would like to say that this is not something that is optional in the Christian life. It is part of every genuine Christian experience in some way. You know, we want our circumstances our way, and we want them now. Let's go to James 5. And this word here is patience, not long-suffering. But James 5 and verse 7, and we're going to read through verse 11. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until receive the early and latter rain. But be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brother and the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and ye have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." We see here in James that we're to be patient. And it gives the illustration of a farmer. So you that are farmers, along with me, understand this principle of patience probably better than anybody else. There's got to be some advantage to being a farmer, right? But the farmer, it says here that he waits for the early rain and the latter rain. If this James lived in Ohio, he would probably say that he waits for the dry spells and the later dry spells and so forth. That's probably what he'd written if he would live in Ohio. So give credit to the farmers. They probably understand the fruit of patience better than anybody else. The James 5 clearly brings that out. But it is with a conscious effort that we have this fruit of the Spirit, and it is part of our life. You know, the questions are many in life. How are we going to get out of this problem in life? You know, we have problems and not enough money to pay the bills. Young fellows have the problem of the girl that I had, that he had his hopes and dreams on, says no, and she doesn't give any hope or any reason for why she said no, or if she'll consider it in the future. You know, that's a place where we need a long suffering. I am fired from my job. I need long suffering. That relationship with the neighbor is not going well. I need long suffering. So what is long suffering in this age of hurry up? We live in a culture that has little knowledge or appreciation of the real meaning of long suffering. We expect the service to be fast at the drive-up line in McDonald's. We expect the parts to be delivered from John Deere the next morning. We serve instant mashed potatoes and instant whipped cream. We can't wait on the mail anymore, so we email instead. We are multitaskers in many ways. We do two things at once. We live in a hurry-up society. We don't like to suffer, and we don't like to wait long. Long-suffering is sticking with a situation. It seems like the chips are down. A fellow church member has made wrong choices. A child is rebellious. And a marriage is hurting. Well, what should we do with those kind of situations? Well, the only thing we can do many times is to apply long-suffering along with love and so forth. A marriage that is hurting or a child that is rebellious, we can only work in long-suffering, continue to exert influences on them in long-suffering, and wait for God to work his will out. I become aware in this study that the fruit of long-suffering is primarily talked about in the New Testament for leaders. So I hope the rest of you don't go to sleep or go away, but it is for at least Stuart and I to study the fruit of long-suffering. We need to make long-suffering become a way of life. I would like to use for a text then 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 10. Long-suffering is mentioned here by the Apostle Paul, and it's demonstrated by his life. It is not primarily a lesson on patience or long-suffering, but it is a demonstration, an example, an account of how the ministry is and how the workers together with Christ should behave themselves. So let's read from 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 through 10. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. I would like to call attention to just a few things that sets up this passage of Scripture. Number one is that we are workers together with him. We are workers together with Christ. We are workers together with him. We are a synergy. That means that we are working together for a common cause. And God cannot do what he wants us to do. He doesn't do what he wants us to do. He wants us to be fellow workers with him. So this morning it clearly tells us in this passage of Scripture, in the first verse, that we are working with him in a synergistic way. We are not able to conjure up enough power or strength to accomplish long-suffering without the nature of God being imparted to us. The nature of God is one of the very prominent natures of God that is talked about throughout Old Testament and New Testament is the fact that he is long-suffering. Therefore, we are, as expressions and in tandem companion, energized by him, in synergy with him, we are also a long-suffering people. So, in essence, it says that we are willing to wait in life. We are willing to be long-suffering until we find God's will for us, until we find God's way. Secondly, the message of salvation is an urgent, compelling message. And that is why the God's grace is extended to the lost and dying world, because it is a compelling message, and he is long-suffering. He says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. So this is a reality that we must reckon with and we must work with. And it must be our motivation, our modus operandi. That word is a Latin term for the method of operation that we have is to serve the gospels, commit ourselves to the salvation of souls. Thirdly, everything I do is to be in contribution to the cause I am here for, the salvation of souls, whether it be our children, fellow church members, or the man on the street. That must be our compelling reason we are here. Fourthly, we have received the grace of God. God's grace is a result of his long-suffering to us. We, in turn, as recipients of the grace of God and fellow laborers with him, are long sufferers. I want to look at the process of long suffering and patience. Just listen as I read some scriptures. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. If you are patient, as Proverbs 14:29, whosoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. A quick response is foolish. Romans 5:3, and not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and verse 4, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, tribulation, the process of long-suffering, is rooted in God's tribulations that he sends our way. He says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And I think I used the illustration here before already, that tribulation is of the root word tribuli. And tribuli is like a threshing instrument that was used in ancient threshing, where they beat the grain out of the stalk. So they had the chaff, they had the grain, and the grain was of value, and the chaff was blown away. So in our lives, God uses tribulation, to work out patience. And that does something. And it brings us to the experience. We have this experience in life, and the experience then yields hope. Long-suffering is the process by which we wait on the Lord, letting him bring tribulations into our life's experience, and that develops hope and an assurance of salvation and longing for heaven. So I think that is the process by which we have long suffering. Colossians 1 verse 11 says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. That is the lot of the Christian. He can suffer long with joyfulness. Why? Because he's partnered with the Holy Spirit, with God himself, partakers of the divine nature. One of the admonitions that the Apostle Paul gives the preacher is to preach the word, be instant in season, be ready to preach at all times, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We preachers are to rebuke and reprove with long suffering. Now, that's a real message to me as a preacher. That came with renewed emphasis as you work through administrative things. That long suffering is part and parcel of your rebuke. Your exhortation. You need to wait for fruit. You need to have a tenacious grip on truth, tenacious grip on preaching the truth of the Word of God, and then let God do his work. Of course, we know that there is sometimes we need to do things more than that, but in a large sense, we're responsible to preach the word of God, preach the word, be then exhort with long suffering and doctrine. I find that very interesting, and this is a place that stomps on my toes when I understand this doctrine. Thou art, O Lord, a God full of compassion, gracious and long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. I have three points for these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning, and I again wrote them on the board. I don't know if you can read them, since I had my stroke. It's a little hard for me to write with my right hand, but especially on a board. But these three words are going to be my outline for the rest of this sermon. The cause for long suffering. Well, as we talked about, we need to be workers together with him. We need to be excited about the kingdom. We need to be excited about the church. We need to present the gospel as in a time accepted. Now is the accepted time. We have no promise of tomorrow. Yesterday is past. We have no promise that we have another chance. But now we need to present the gospel. It says here in verse 2, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. I have helped thee. I have nurtured thee. And therefore, that is how we are to do as Christians. We are to nurture the world in which we live. And the reason for this is that we have no offense we are held accountable by the sins of omission. If we omit spreading the gospel, we will be held accountable for that. Giving no offense to anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now is the day of salvation. We are synergized with God himself as workers together with him. Our dynamic, our power, and the motivation is the fact that we are partakers of the divine nature, and long-suffering is one of them. It is demonstrated throughout Scripture, many places, that an illustration is in Matthew 18, where it talks about a sheep that has gone out of the fold and strayed away, and he's got out there on the cliff, and the shepherd leaves the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeking that which has gone astray. Now he could say, I don't have time. This is crazy to spend all that time out there seeking for that sheep. But nevertheless, that is a parable of Jesus in demonstrating the need for long suffering. And then when he brings him back, he rejoices and so forth. Every church member should be aware of the fact that it takes long suffering to be in the ministry of reconciliation. So if you're involved on a committee somewhere and it takes a long time and it seems like you don't get anything done, it seems like you're not making any headway, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. That's what the ministry is all about, is about presenting truth, have a tenacious grip on truth, and then presenting it to the lost and dying world And letting that church member, the truths soak in, and letting him come to the realization of truth. Secondly, the commitment for long-suffering. The commitment for long-suffering. Verse 4 says, "But in all things ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses." These are all, I believe, mostly related to our emotions, mental thought, that we need to think about the cause, about this, and have a mental preparedness. If the Christian slides into apostasy, we have prepared for it by knowing that many shall depart from the faith. We know that. I believe that is a real ministry that we need to understand, that there is a mental tool that comes to the one that works in ministry. Now, people don't want to follow the rules. People don't want to do what the Word of God says. But the mental toll that comes to one to that is to administrate those things is what the Apostle Paul here is talking about. In afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Then we have in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings. And this is something that we know little about, but the Apostle Paul said, I believe we should go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's just follow the Apostle Paul's life here for a little bit. Second Corinthians 11 and verse 23. "Are they ministers of Christ?" You know, he is talking about some others. "I speak as a fool. I am more. I am more than these. In labors more abundant. I've worked harder. In stripes above measure." I can't even count the stripes that I've got. That I've got from... We're talking about commitment. And the Apostle Paul surely knew what commitment was. "In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent." None of us here, I don't believe, can ever say that we were in prison for our faith. "In death oft." I saw a lot of people die that were walking along beside me. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes. Save one." Imagine that. That is commitment. "Thrice was I beaten with rods." Commitment. "Once was I stoned." I believe that was out when he was stoned. Stephen witnessed that. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep." I have sailed out there and I've been, the ship was all wrecked up and I have been in the deep. I was no doubt hanging on to a piece of wood, just surviving. That is commitment. "In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers." People robbed me. People held me up at knife point. "In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren." That is commitment to long-suffering. in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness, commitment, besides those things that are without, and that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Long suffering, commitment. I don't think any of us would even be qualified to talk about long suffering compared to what Apostle Paul went through. Thirdly, I'd like to look at the character of long-suffering servant. Character is the sum of what a person actually is. The long-suffering servant is willing to endure the rigors of commitment with grace. Commitment governed by these principles. Someone has said that sometimes what a person needs is not a brilliant mind that speaks, but a patient heart that listens. So we see here that the Apostle Paul was walking a fine line between all these rigors of the road, you might say, the rigors of shipping, the rigors of being beaten, the rigors of being tossed in jail, prison. And then he had to right himself and respond to people by pureness, verse 6, by knowledge, by long-suffering, being kind, by the Holy Ghost, and by an unfeigned love. So, you know, there was the character of the Apostle Paul and the commitment that he had to this was significant. He was guiding, these were the principles that he were guiding his life by pureness and knowledge and long-suffering and kindness and so forth. But he was kind. Long-suffering is the ability to count down before you blast off. That's not my own saying, but it is something that I read. Long-suffering is ability to count down before you blast off. And by the way, that is a very good practice, to count down before you blast off. Pureness is honesty. We will be honest with people that we counsel and people that we meet. Truth definitely will set one free. Jesus said so. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Every person that counsels need to be long-suffering, but they need to tell the truth. There are many times that you have meetings with people that it is easy to skirt around the truth. But I'm a firm believer that the character of the long-suffering servant needs to be that truth is finally unequivocally presented to the person. It says, and by the word of truth, verse 7, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. The word of truth is leaving us to guess where the truth is. So I believe that is a character trait of the Apostle Paul, that he presented truth. And we know that it cost him friends, it cost him popularity, and did with Jesus, did with Elijah, it did with many of God's people. Verse 8 says that by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, yet true. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, inspired, and success achieved. That is Helen Keller quote. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. By honor and dishonor, what is that? Well, it's to be praised. Oh, you're the greatest preacher. You are the best counselor. You are the best friend. I love what you do. And then in the next week, we are punched in the gut or we are kicked in the seat, at least mentally, by the same person. That's what it is to have honor and dishonor. That is what we need to be: long-suffering, tenacious grip of truth, tenacious grip of where we are going, eternity guides our decisions. By evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, and false accusations, I guess if I had to choose what is the hardest thing for me to take in life, it's false accusations. It's easier to take some belittlement. It's easier to take saying you're not too smart or something like that. But when people falsely accuse you and you know you told the truth, that is hard to take. By evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. The fact of the false accusation is ever a part of Christian life. What kind of character do we exhibit? Verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold they live, as chastened and not killed. One of the character traits of the servant of God is that he sees himself as a nobody, and he doesn't really care if he is unknown. Verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as pure, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. The serenity of a life well lived in the fact that I am contributing to make many rich. I don't have anything materially, and yet I possess all things, the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Long-suffering is part of the fruit of the Spirit and will be part of the Christian experience in life, and especially as it pertains to your kingdom participation. Romans 2 and verse 6 and 7 says, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. This morning I would like to tell you, the Christian life is not glory in this world. It's not necessarily even fun. But it's a patient continuance, long-suffering, if you will, in seeking for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. That's how it is. Long-suffering, the forgotten fruit, unflashy, not glorious, not even pretty, but long-suffering, brings us to eternity, prepared to die.